Tilaka in the 12 parts of the body. This is the, these are different ideas. One is it's to dedicate the body to the service of God. It's a dedication. Demarcation and dedication. So we mark 12 parts of the body with tilak. And these, and that's one point. And it's to remind us that the temple is the mandir of the Lord. This temple is the body is a temple of God. And these are 12 Vishnu incarnations. There are 24 forms of Vishnu. These are 12 of them. Govinda Vishnu, Padmanabh Vishnu, Madhusudan Vishnu. These are all of the 24 Vishnu forms. They have the names Govinda, Damodar, Padmanabh, Vishnave, Vamana, Keshav. These are all. Of course, Krishna also has some of these names. But these tilak markings are referring to Vishnu. There's 24 forms of Vishnu according to where the four weapons are. Shankh, Padak, Padma, Gada, Chakra. So we say Damodar, but that's not Yashoda Damodar. That's Vishnu. You see in the Bhagavatam, first canto, you can see. And Vishnu, it says Damodar, Padmanabh, all the tilak markings are there, Trivikram, and Sringa, all the different avatars, everybody there. So it's dedication, and it also acts as kavacham, kavacha. Kavacha means like mystic armor. Mystic armor. Like we do nyas, for purifying the body, not so much in Ragmarg, but in Vidimarg. They do nyas, they chant mantra, and they touch the different parts of the body, on Manasudana and this list. This kavacham is a mystic armor, it's a protection. Like the Kshatriyas in Mahabharata, before they went to battle, they would chant different mantras to protect their body from arrows and different things. Very subtle. So when we demarcate our body, we take earth, this clay, this Swasti Gopi Chan, and we chant the mantra. Then we're actually putting the mantra on our body, and the mantra becomes a kavacha. It means protection, like we Rakhi, the ladies, they tie their brother's hand in that Rakhi time. Purnima. And it's a type of protection, at least the idea. Rakhi means protection. So we put the tilak on the body for protection. The primary idea is to remind us that this body belongs to God, and the arm should be dedicated in Lord's service, so that I mark the arm, and the stomach and the back, and the head and the forehead. And below the belly button is considered, the Lord's name should not go there, so we only mark tilak above the navel. Below the navel is considered downside. And well, of course, obviously, the legs are also dedicated in Krishna's service. Everything's dedicated. But it's demarcating the body as a temple of the Lord, dedicating and reminding us that, and it's also for protection. So this is what I understand. And there's also individual symbology. They say that Brahma is on one line is Brahma, one line is Shiva, and the middle is Vishnu. And sometimes they say this is a Tulsi leaf, because our tilak is called Tulsidara, tilak. There are different types of tilak, Nupura tilak, and different names. It's called Tulsi Dara. Dara means holding the Tulsi. Tulsi leaf. Sometimes they say this, many interpretations. The tilak represents the footprint of the Lord. So this is Keshava's footprint, and on Keshava's footprint is a Tulsi leaf. A Tulsi leaf is always on his charan. And like this, many different things. And everything in bhakti, Krishna likes it. It's for Krishna's pleasure. Bhakti means make the lover happy. It's like, oh, my husband, he likes me to have long hair and tie in a braid. Okay, it's a hassle to wash long hair and to deal with it and all the split ends and all this stuff. I'd rather just chop off my hair and have a short city haircut. But my husband doesn't like it, and so I want to make him happy. So I grow my hair for his happiness. Because that's called selfless love. So bhakti is that's the principle. God likes it? Okay, fine, that's enough. That's a simple approach. Oh, you like it? Okay, I'll put it on. Why does it mean? Why do we do it? Where does the tilak come from? And what, do we have to do it? I'm too lazy, and can't I just do my forehead, and my mother doesn't like it, and I can't wear it at work, and blah, 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 this, that, the other thing, a million and one reasons and arguments. Like Prabhupada once said, he said, if someone is straightforward, he's not deceitful, then bhakti is very easy. Because bhakti is simple. Just whatever, what do you want? You want this? Okay, I do it. It sounds simple, but our ego is so argumentative and independent and rebellious that the whole idea of surrender is quite fearful and frightening to most people. And so we rather maintain our independence and our belligerence and refuse to surrender. Okay, fine. Stay in the material world. It's like Hanuman, he's a very simple person. Not simple, quite intelligent. He spoke Sanskrit, he knew Shastras and everything. Kim Purusha. Man, like man and monkey combined. And one day he was in Ayodhya, and Sita came out with some sindoor on her simanta, part in her hair. Nice red sindoor. And Ram, he saw that, and he said, oh, Sita, you look very beautiful to me. In the old days, the chaste housewife had different symbols, the beni and the sindoor and different bangles and all these different things that were signs of a married woman, chaste, sati, in Indian culture. Now it's all lost, but anyway, these were the things. So Sita Devi had that, and Ram said, oh, that looks very nice. And Hanuman was very simple. He was sitting there. So then he left the assembly, the Ram Dar. And he went into the dressing room or somewhere, and he got about 10 kilos of sindoor. And he just covered it head to toe. He put all over his face and all over his hands and arms. He was totally lal color. Totally red, and ordinarily his golden color is actually quite beautiful, golden type color. And he came back to the Ram Darbar, and then in the assembly there, and everybody said, what the hell is this? Who is this? And someone said, that's Hanuman. And he came in front of Ram, and he expected Ram to be so elated and joyful. Oh, Hanuman, you're covered with red. And he said, Hanuman, what did you do? What happened? What happened to you? You've gone crazy. And Hanuman was a little sad. He said, no, my lord, you saw Sita with that red stripe, raising stripe, or whatever you call it, you know, the simanta, the hair part. And you said it makes you very happy, so I thought if that little bit of red makes you so happy, if I make my whole body red, you'll really be happy. A very simple approach. And Ram said, no, better you wash that off, you know. But he's a pure devotee in Dasya Bhav, Dasya Rati Hanuman. So he's simple. Simplicity, Saralata. Simplicity is very much appreciated by the Lord. Not simpleton, but simplicity. And application of intelligence, judicious use of discrimination, but simplicity, not a simpleton. There's quite a difference. But usually we all think we're God, and we all think we know everything, and we all think we know the best way to do everything. And the last thing on our agenda is to surrender to anybody, anytime, and anywhere. So therefore, we are very much deceitful, and very much proud, and very much stupid. So bhakti becomes quite difficult. Prabhupada used to say, bhakti is easy for the What did he say? It's simple for the
simple.
Easy for the simple. No, easy for the straightforward, but difficult for the crooked. Crooked, he said. He says, easy for the straightforward or saralata, but it's difficult for the crooked. So we're pretty crooked operators here in Kali Yuga. Not to discourage anyone, but anyway, slowly we go forward. Rome wasn't conquered in a day. Krishna's our helping friend, our helper. He's our nearest friend and our closest helper, closest at hand. And he is always within earshot. He can hear our plea and our prayer, our petition and submission. Anyone else is separated from us ultimately or immediately. Immediately by time and distance, or ultimately by death, which also creates time and distance. But God, at no time and in no place are we ever separated from God. This is the beauty of the relationship, one's relationship with God. Never separated. Your husband, you may say, oh, husband, help me, and he's in the bedroom, he comes and helps you. But if he's at work, and then you can't do anything for you, he can't help you. But God can help us at every moment and anywhere. There's many interesting stories, devotees, and the lives of devotees, because they live close to the presence of God. They try their best to live life in such a way. So when you live close, like for example, if you're the PS of the Prime Minister, then you have many stories to tell about the Prime Minister. Because you're everywhere he goes, you go. So you know so many things, and they often write diaries, etc., biographies. So the devotees of the Lord, they're always moving close with the Lord. They're constant companions with the Lord. So they can narrate so many of the glories of the Lord and anecdotes of the Lord's interaction with them and intercession on their behalf in extraordinary ways. I mean, one I've often told, but one time a devotee was in New York and he was distributing books, and then some guy got a little crazy. There were a lot of crazy people there, and then he pulled a gun and he started chasing him. And it was in New York, and it was in evening time, and he was just chasing him on the sidewalk. In New York, if you see somebody chasing a gun, you just go the other way or something. He crossed the sidewalk. He said, oh, that's their problem. Let those guys work out their karma. You know, this guy is chasing the guy with a gun. Either one guy is going to get shot or one guy get arrested. Anyway, somebody will figure it out. I have to get to work. I can't worry about this. So pretty much nobody, it's really mind your own business and over there. I've been to New York, I lived there a short time. It's, you can do anything in New York City, any time of the day you can do anything on the street and no one's going to even lift an eyebrow. You can walk down the street naked, you can kill 10 people on the street, you can, you know, mug somebody and we say, oh, excuse me, they'll just step aside. No one's going to say, wait, what are you doing? No one will take any interest at all in New York City. It's unbelievable. And there's a famous story. It was entered into the psychology books in 1963 in New York. I forget, it was some apartment building. It was broad daylight and some lady was being murdered on the sidewalk. And she was yelling, and her people were in this skyscraper residential building right on the sidewalk, and they were all just looking out watching it. And this was entered into psychology books, how in cities people become so insensitive. Because of city life, people become so impersonal and so insensitive. People were just like taking cameras and pictures and just watching this lady being murdered on the street. Nothing to be very proud of. This is, you know, America, a crazy place. So this was in New York also. So this guy is chasing the devotee with a gun. No, the devotee's running this way, that way. And then he saw this like little alley, because these buildings, they make, not even in Delhi, but here they make them very close, and this street, that street, and in the back they're very close. There's a little alley where they throw all the garbage, and the little truck can go there and pick up the garbage. Hardly you can, just little, like narrow alley, buildings very close, like gully type. Only make 6-8 feet wide, you know. So he was running, and he thought this was some street, because he was so scared he couldn't think straight. So then he ran down the street, and he's running, and then he sees that this goes like that, and at the end there's another building. And it's like a dead end, they call it dead end. There's two buildings like this, and then another one. And there's a guy with a gun, and he's running, uh-oh, and everything's just doors, and it's all locked. He says, oh, this is not so good. Because the guy is chasing him down, this, and it's just one outlet, and the guy is at the outlet with the gun, and he's trapped. So he turns around, and then the guy's looking at him. He says, you stupid! You Hare Krishna, I hate you guys. You're everywhere I go, Hare Krishna, trying to sell me books. I'm going crazy. I'm going to kill you, this, that, you know. And then Dwarji's saying, oh, the Shringa Bhagavan, Hare Krishna. And he was just closed his eyes because, you know, he just thought, this is it. I better chant Hare Krishna any time. Now's the time. So he's chanting Hare Krishna, and trying to meditate on Krishna. And the guy is saying all this stuff, and then he pulls the trigger. Boom! Then a devotee heard the sound, you know, the boom! And the devotee went, oh! And he fell down like this. And he goes, it's just like, because the gun went off. But what happened was, there was a guy in the apartment building, one of those apartments on that alley, and he heard all this yelling, because this guy was like a nutcase. Yeah, you stupid Hare Krishna. And he goes, what's this? You know, and he lifted up the window and he saw this guy. He didn't know it, because the devotee was like in Western clothes. So he just saw two guys. There was one guy is cornered, and so he said, what is this guy? And somehow he got inspired. So he took his rifle, you know, his 20-06 or whatever he had. And he just went, what is this? This doesn't look right. And he just put his sight on. He shot the guy. So when that gun went off, it was the guy in the apartment building shooting the guy with a revolver that was going to kill the devotee. So that guy got knocked up. The guy that chased him with the gun died on the spot. But the devotee heard this gun go boom. He goes, oh! This devotee said, I don't know. It's so he fell on the ground. He said, oh, I got hit. You know, oh, Hare Krishna. Hey. I'm okay. And that guy just, he shot him and closed the window and back and watched the TV, you know. You know, it's some soap opera. You don't want to miss it, you know. Maybe advertisement or something. So you just practice a little bit with a gun, you know. It's like, it's an alley of some bodies, you know. It's New York, it's 25 million people. Who cares? So then, you know, the devotee get up and this guy's lying there, you know, with his gun. So he just stepped over that guy and went back and distributed books. So this is an example of how that Krishna makes some arrangement to save the devotees. You know, Krishna is everywhere. But if he was to call out, Mommy, please save me. Or maybe he's married. He says, Oh, honey pie. Where's my honey pie? Please save me. Or calls out for his son. Or maybe his son's name Narayan. That would be good. So Narayan, or whatever. You know, who's going to save him over there? Is, you know, nobody. Well, Krishna's there in every atom, as we're saying. He's in every atom. So he's in this guy's heart, and you know, everybody in New York has about 20 guns and rifles and stuff. I remember when I grew up in the village. I grew up in a village, a small village, about 5-10,000 people, maybe in the village, not so many, countryside. And we were practically, when all my associates and everybody knew, we were the only family practically in town that didn't have any guns in our house. We didn't have one gun. We didn't have revolver, shotgun, and we had 18 acres of property. We had a vast estate and all kinds of sports cars, and we were really wealthy. We never even locked our doors. There's just some kind of karmic bubble that I grew up in. But everybody, my neighbors, you know, they kind of like cross the fields and stuff. You know, you saw those pictures on the place. And I go to my neighbor's house and there's rifles and guns with this, that, everybody. And they would go hunting, and I was a little bit different type. But America is like, you know, you read a newspaper, a kid goes into school and shoots off 20 kids and stuff. But it's really wild. So this is a little anecdote. It's a true story. So the devotees, so I'm saying devotees are always living with the presence of God and the interaction of God in their lives. So of course it increases their faith and their belief. And it's a simple, they surrender, then Krishna does the rest. You know. Amazing things happen. And sometimes devotees die and they get in car wrecks. And, you know, it's not that they're invincible or they have 9 lives or they're Superman or something. They also get in car accidents, they also die, and, you know, like normal people. But God is always there for the devotee. Kon Shanteya Pratijanihi Name Bhakti Pranashati.